You're listening to The Chancellor's Report on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Dave Edwards, joined in the studio, as I am every month, by the Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, Mike Lovell. Welcome back to the program.
Oh, thanks, Dave.
You enjoying your summer?
So far, so good, yeah.
Yeah, it's always a busy time. I say this every year. People come up to me and they assume that, you know, in the summertime, nothing ever happens on campus, and it's hardly the case. There's always a lot of stuff going on, yeah. And we'll talk about some of that today. You know, when we were together last month, we were talking a little bit about the state budget. We were talking a lot about the state budget, but there was still a lot that was left unknown. We sort of knew what the budget bill would look like, but we didn't know what the governor would do as it crossed his desk. And there were a lot of different items there. He did sign the budget on June 30th. There's a lot of things in the budget packed in there that relate to UWM and the University of Wisconsin system. And I think the big one, of course, is tuition.
Yeah, there's a couple of big pieces of this, and the first is obviously they're capping tuition for the next biennial budget. This two-year tuition fee is the first in the system since 1971, since the system was created. So this is new territory for all of us. As we all know, you know, student debt and cost of higher ed is something that's a concern for everyone, so it's understandable the idea that the state would want to keep tuition down. But as we've talked before in the past, you know, this really constrains us because as they continue to decrease our base budget in terms of what the state provides and also what happens we get from the federal level, tuition is a source of revenue, you know, for us. It is not replacing, you know, we're not able to replace what we're losing in running. So the cost to continue becomes very difficult for us.
Mm-hmm. So have you, do you have a handle on what kind of money we're talking about as it trickles down to UWM? What's the impact to your campus?
Well, I think when you take away the tuition, again, one of the things that we do when we do budget planning, you know, we actually plan for, you know, looking at our budget going forward, tuition increases around the cost of inflation, you know, between 2 and 3% typically is what we plan for. And so immediately when you have a tuition, you know, cap, you know, when we had, we've actually been conservative because the tuition has been rising about 5%. We've been planning for about 2 or 3%. You know, this actually, you know, is money that is like getting a cut because it's money that we had planned for that is not coming forward, let alone the fact that there actually is a base budget decrease, actually the biggest in our history, provided in this year's budget. When you take a look at the money that we are not getting in a cost to continue, mm-hmm. you know, basis, which we, again, cost to operate increased, you know, cost of our employees' benefits, you know, those funds are not in the budget sure. as well this year.
So how are you going to handle this?
Well, one of the challenges we have is the fact that this just came out and, you know, when we talked before, months before, we were expecting $181 million budget increase. You know, that was what we were planning for. And so to have kind of at the very last, you know, last several weeks to suddenly go from expecting having a budget increase to having a base budget reduction creates real challenges for us. And so one of the things that we, you know, are looking at is we don't have faculty on campus to have the discussions on how we're going to do this. So right now there's still somewhat, you know, uncertainty. One of the things that, you know, obviously we're going to be looking at is minimizing the impact to campus as much as we can with any reserves that we have. Again, but we've talked before about the reserves. Those reserves have been set aside for the new buildings that are coming online. So mm-hmm. we're going to have to use that money to actually fill some of the holes that the current budget is putting in, which puts us in jeopardy for those new buildings coming online. So we're not sure when those months are going to be for. So, but the answer to your question is we don't have it all figured out yet. It's something that we're going to have to kind of piece together. We'll do some work, obviously, this summer, but we want to make sure that before we make any firm decisions or significant decisions that we have the backing of campus with us as well, making sure that we're working together with the different governance groups.
Mm-hmm. So it will be a busy summer related yes. to that. One of the other things we've talked about on the program in the past is the difficulty of retaining your best faculty as they're being plucked away by other universities. Now, the new budget does include a compensation plan for employees.
Yeah. And so for the first time in 6 years, we do have a 1% pay increase for both the 2014-2015, which again, it's not a significant increase. It's not even keeping up with the, you know, cost of inflation, but it is symbolic that the state is at least investing in our people. We still have a long way to go with, you know, our average employee is paid 18% below their peers on their institutions. This obviously is not going to go a long way to helping with that, but still just recognizing, you know, in the state that our employees are important and they do deserve a pay raise is something that we're happy about.
Mm-hmm. Are you still seeing faculty members being recruited away?
Yeah, we still see members being recruited away. You know, it's at least you know, one a week, it seems like I hear about someone either is being recruited away or is leaving, you know, mm-hmm. which is always, you know, is always difficult. But, you know, it's just, it's become a way of doing things. And, you know, unfortunately, when people are paid below their market value, you know, when people come knocking at the door, they're more inclined to answer, you
sure.
know, which is one of the challenges we have.
Sure. We talked a number of months ago about a program that you were particularly excited about, and that was the flexible option degree program. Did that survive in the budget?
Well, it did and it didn't. So the money is actually – it's within the budget that we're going to be doing this program and it's going to be $2 million, but they're actually – asking the UW system to pay for it. So it's not new money from the state. It's taking money that currently exists at systems and reallocating it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a reallocation of current resources.
So will that allow you to move forward? Because you were talking about a pretty ambitious startup program here, but really would help a lot of people finish or get yeah. their degrees without having to spend all the time in a college classroom. So will the program be able to proceed the way you had envisioned it?
Yeah. Again, because the amount of money set aside for the program has not changed, it's just where the money's coming from is, mm-hmm. is changed. We still will be able to move forward with the plans we currently had before.
Okay. Let's talk about another thing that came up sort of late in the budget process, and that was giving the governor the authority to sell state-owned property. And, of course, that immediately the discussion turned to what that would mean for university dorms, parking structures, buildings, and the like. Did that come through in the budget?
Yes, and you know, one of the things that's, again, we don't know exactly where this is going to go, but it certainly, you know, opens the door for, you know, the privatization of different buildings or different structures, you know, on college campuses. And so, you know, I don't think there's going to see any drastic changes in the next year, but depending on, you know, what happens in the future, this, you know, could be really significant, you know, for the state and particularly on the campuses.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys have been, you know, opening new dorm buildings and doing a lot of that. I mean, do you see this legislation, this emerging from the budget bill, stifling your ability to move forward on future projects or fundraising?
Well, I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, we worry about how it's going to affect people wanting to invest in buildings or in bricks and mortar on the campuses in terms of fundraising. With an undertone of the fact that, you know, maybe it's not imminent, but someday that the state could actually sell those buildings, and if they make a donation, particularly if they put their name on a building, that suddenly it would become private, not owned by the state or run by the university.
Mm-hmm. The other thing we've talked about on the program before, and that is, you know, you and the university system have been looking for flexibility in the way the university system operates, the way people are compensated. Where does that stand?
Well, unfortunately, you know, this didn't make it through the final budget coming out of joint finance. That, you know, we don't have as much flexibility as we would like to in terms of our the way we do compensation on our campuses, the way our HR systems work. You know, we're still going to be within the general state framework. And we've talked before in the past, the reason why, you know, I think that we should be treated differently is that we're expected to do different services than the rest of the state. We are expected to be internationally competitive in terms of our research and educational programs. We're not just providing service like the DMV at the state. And I think there should be a differentiation, you know, between types of services that we are asked to provide compared to other state agencies.
Mm-hmm. So how do you convince people of that? You know, and how do you move forward given the current political environment? And I would even suggest that the current environment in the state of Wisconsin now, because of the articles about the fund balances and, mm-hmm. and the cash on hand, people are seeming to me voicing more criticism of the university because of the story that they're hearing.
Yeah, and a couple of things happened here. One was the state, the system, you know, lost a significant amount of money, you know, in terms of our, you know, our benefits. You know, they overpaid for benefits for employees, you know, that that were no longer working at its institutions. I think it was on the order of about $18 million. And then you had heard the big news would happen with the budget, what they called a surplus, mm-hmm. you know, which is really carry forward balances. It was over $1 billion, and that created a lot of distrust of the UW system and ultimately filters down to the universities. And I think that's really where the rub came here, that, you know, that lack of confidence that we were able to manage our money correctly made them concerned about wanting us to have more flexibility in managing, you know, the way we compensate our employees.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I wanted to talk a little bit about the some of the other things happening on the campus, and I know that early in June was a very exciting time for you and for the campus because the final beam was put into place for the Innovation Accelerator building at the new Innovation Campus in Wauwatosa. And while that in itself is pretty cool and pretty exciting, I think the pretty cool thing is that the word is that you, the chancellor of UWM, not a construction worker of record, was able to operate the crane that put that beam in place.
Well, it's true. And it was like a childhood dream. You know, I got there a little bit early, and they showed me how to operate the crane, and I was able to actually put the beam up there and lower it down, and there was two workers up there that bolted it into place, and I was able to do it. I didn't want the story to be that the chancellor had knocked one of the workers off the structure. I wanted it to be a nice story, and so I was excited that I was able to do it. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. And, you know, in the event itself, you know, there was about between 400 and 500 people at the event, and beforehand, as I was walking around and meeting and greeting people, every other person said to me that how excited they were because they had been part of one step of this process, because this was a 6-year-long journey to get this building going. And people that had been worked for the city of Wauwatosa or had been part of the county, it was just there was so much goodwill in that room and so much ownership for what happened because there were so many people that had to step up and make it happen, and they did. And so it was just of all my events that I've attended, UWM, this was the one that there was so much positive energy in the room because so many people were so excited about it actually happening.
You know, when you said there were 400 people there, I thought to myself when you said what they were doing, and I thought we were cowering in fear knowing that you were in a crane. But it is that has to be a very cool experience to do. But this is an interesting building, and I think you should probably remind people about what's going to happen in this laboratory and why it is significant.
Yeah, and so this building is federally funded from the U.S. Department of Commerce, the Economic Development Administration. And I've described this before in the past. It's the first project I've ever worked on where the federal government actually gave me more money than we asked for. This was going to be about a $3.7 million building. And the Department of Commerce liked it so much they wanted us to make it bigger, and so they gave us more money for it. And so it's very exciting. It's 25,000 square feet, which is not huge, but again, it's a presence for us to start out there. But it includes core facilities and laboratories. So, you know, obviously our faculty are going to be out there, and we talked before in the past that we have – about 10 faculty going to be moving their research out there, but we did an RFP and 80 faculty wanted to be there. So it's definitely something that there was a lot of interest from campus to be there. But we also, MCW is going to be co-located with us. Concordia University, we're going to have GE Healthcare, we're going to have two or three small startup companies, Brooke Stevens, an industrial design firm, pretty popular, is going to be there. So the building is really a co-location facility and really to really build on the partnerships that we want to have growing out there. We talk about being a third-generation research park where we have co-location of our faculty and people from the outside. And this building really signifies that. And it's already, obviously, it's way over-constrained. And that's one of the things we're excited about, actually having our first academic building there in 2015.
So it'll take a little while to get it up and running then.
Yeah.
And who knows? You might have to put some more beams or do some more construction work on the site. You never know. You know, now that they know you can do it. And that was kind of a precursor to the annual Board of Regents meeting. The Regents meet every year in Milwaukee, I believe usually in June. And that's a chance for you to showcase the campus and what's going on. And obviously a project like that had to be exciting for the Regents to see. But what were some of the other kind of key points you wanted to leave with the Regents when they were in town?
Well, I kind of talked a little bit about the transformation of UWM, but more in the context of the transformation of Milwaukee. And, you know, we've talked before in the past. I've said that, you know, all the major issues that are facing Milwaukee that, you know, UWM is not going to solve them, but we're going to be part of the solution. And one of the things that we're trying to do is create jobs and develop the economy here. And obviously, you know, our graduates, number one, are going to be a driving force in helping transform this region and also the technology that we're developing. So I really focused a lot about the people that we're generating and actually some of the projects that we have going on to really help with economic development. Again, knowing that we're part of something that's happening here that I think is pretty special in Milwaukee. And one of the things that we really focused on was talking about how we're developing students that are more innovative and entrepreneurial. I think that that's one thing as an institution, along with the critical thinking skills, really that core liberal arts education, which is so important, you know, for anyone in helping people be good citizens and critical thinkers. We also can help them be more innovative and entrepreneurial. If we do that, they will add value when they get into society. And so one of the things we talked about, as we've mentioned in the past, the Student Startup Challenge and how we're creating pathways for innovation on entrepreneurship on campus. We had one of our graduate students, Carlton Reeves, who talked about how UWM has helped him get his advanced degree, getting a PhD, but we've also helped him start his launch his own company. He's been very successful at both. He's won international awards for his research, but he's also won national business plans and has launched his own company and is doing very well with it's actually an app that you use for restaurants. It allows you not to have to worry about taking your wallet or credit card in with you and allows you to pay for things just using your phone. And it's actually in about 10 cities now, and he's doing really well. And talked about how he wants to stay in Milwaukee because he's got himself a group of programmers that he's found here that works with the work ethic. He wants to stay here. He likes working with the people. He's been able to raise money. He's won both the state and national business plan competition, so he's doing really well. But talks about how UWM has helped foster both allowing him to get his PhD, but also launch this company, which is doing very well.
Mm, that's exciting. Mike Lovell is our guest in conversation here on WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. So you got a chance to sort of highlight this, but I know other people from the community were there as well to speak to the regions. And what did they have to say?
Well, you know, one of the people that came and talked, and I talked about what's going on in Milwaukee, is Julia Taylor, really talking about some of the initiatives that are going on with the Greater Milwaukee Committee, which we are directly involved with. You know, one of them being Innovation in Milwaukee, really trying to bring together Milwaukee's innovative talent to develop creative solutions for the companies here. Also, we've talked before in the past about the Scale Up Milwaukee project, where we have Dan Eisenberg from Babson here, funded with American Express, to really it's an entrepreneurship initiative that we're a key partner in helping drive and really coordinating the city's efforts in around innovation entrepreneurship so that we can be really develop an ecosystem that allows talent to be developed and technology developed for the city that will drive our economic future. The other person that came and talked was John Raymond, really to talk about the collaborations that they have with us and how important a partner we are for their future and vice versa, and particularly how important it is for us to be out at the Innovation Campus and having a presence there so our faculty and their clinicians can work together and do research and really take the amount of research and development going on, particularly in the medical area, to a whole new level here in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm. So as you had the opportunity then to not only make these presentations but talk to the regions, I mean, what was the feedback you were getting from them? And these are tough times for the regions too.
So one of the things that the regents, first of all, the one thing that the regents, you know, all said is there's just so much going on in Milwaukee. That's the one thing that they recognize. There's really a lot happening here, a lot of very exciting things. And they talked about how we are really doing the type of things that the state needs us to do, you know, in terms of the innovation and entrepreneurship, you know, how that really fits in, you know, when again, we're in an economy that's trying to create jobs. And so we are creating students with the skill set to not only, you know, we talk about 54% of them want to work for themselves or start their own company. And so we're providing pathways for them to do that, and that's what the state needs us to do. And we're also developing technology. One of the things we highlighted as well was how our research foundation has really just seen an explosion of intellectual property and technology being developed by our faculty and students, and how we have literally have over 100 technologies at one stage or another in the pipeline when, you know, 6 years ago we only had one. And so that transformation is something that the state needs UWM to be doing.
You know, as I recall back a year or two ago, as we talked about the regions meeting, one of the things that you were talking to them about was the water initiative program and how that fits in. And that obviously that work continues on campus, and the university got a sizable grant to support some of that work.
And then again, this is a very exciting thing that talks about, I think it shows that not only Milwaukee, but UWM has really arrived as being looked at as a global leader in freshwater sciences. Now, Kikkoman gave us $1 million gift to develop a set of healthy waters laboratories in our new addition, a $50 million addition, you know, to our Great Lakes Water Institute. And, you know, we have not had significant support in the past from Kikkoman. You know, but they recognized that, you know, they want to be, you know, they talk about you cannot make great soy sauce without good clean water. And mm-hmm. so they look at us as being someone to invest in and helping them to make sure we develop water or keep, you know, good, clean, fresh water available for them to develop, you know, down in Walworth County, you know, the soy sauce that they make for the world.
Sure. So what does that $1 million allow you to do?
It essentially allows us to build and equip laboratories to really a lot to do around environmental health and also, you know, issues, again, really at the global perspective, you know, some of the global issues around water is they're going to give us not only that they're going to essentially build out the labs and we'll be able to buy equipment that otherwise, again, will give us make us nationally competitive or internationally competitive, you know, in this area.
Mm-hmm. The School of Freshwater Sciences, that's still under construction, correct?
Yeah. So it's a $53 million addition. It'll be done about 18 months from now. So it's very exciting for us to think about the laboratories, you know, and again, the gift from Kikkoman, you know, will help us, you know, with molecular assessment and aquatic chemistry and genomics and some real state-of-the-art things that allow us to test water and look at new technologies for cleaning it and processing it.
Mm-hmm. So a grant of this size, you know, I'm sure will be very helpful in attracting other, not only researchers, but potentially other grants to further the study, too.
And we talk about this all the time, that one of the critical things for us to do as an institution is we're good at getting grants at an individual level, you know, for the National Science Foundation, National Institute of Health, Department of Energy, and others. What we need to be better at is getting larger investigator grants, you know, instead mm-hmm. of getting $300,000 over 3 years, getting a grant that gives you $2 million when you have multi-investigators working together. You need facilities that are state-of-the-art to be competitive to do that. Things like this gift helps us to have those competitive facilities that we don't have right now that make us more competitive for those larger grants.
Mm-hmm. You know, in light of this discussion, I really want to take us back just for a second back to the budget discussion, because if somebody's listening to this and they say, well, the chancellor just got $1 million for this project, that proves that we should invest less state dollars in this because you can go out and raise that money.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where I would just say that we're at a point in our life as an institution that we are still growing and we need as many resources as we can, because if you think, compare us to Madison as an example, they had a 150-year head start on us in state investment. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not going to – and the budgets have certainly changed over the last – certainly the last decade in the state's ability to invest in higher ed, particularly in a research institution that's trying to grow the way we are. And so I would say the only way that we are going to reach our potential is by bringing in more external money, because I truly believe that, you know, every dollar that we can put in to our campus, the state is going to see significant benefit. And so obviously the state budget is going to be limited. So those external dollars to help, particularly in growth areas such as water, such as energy, and some of these fields where we really can make Milwaukee a national leader or help make Milwaukee a national leader, you know, we need external, you know, but through partnerships with industry, whether it be individual donors, you know, all those investments are really going to help us. You know, again, we're on a great trajectory. We don't want that trajectory to fall off because we don't have the resources.
Right. So you need both. You need the statewide investment as well as the investment by others. It's interesting how that progresses. I learned earlier in the summer you launched, or the campus launched, the Mobile Innovation Lab. Yeah. What is that?
Well, that, again, that's another really exciting initiative that we have. And, you know, it's one of the things I talked about is, since becoming chancellor, is that I always understood how technology that's developed. I'm an engineer, so I understand how when you develop technology, how it can impact a region or impact society, you know, in terms of the products and processes you're producing. Well, one thing that I've come to realize as being chancellor and seeing every part of the campus is how important it is to have a social impact, particularly in a region, and particularly in Milwaukee, where there's so much need for social change. And so one of the things that we're really excited about is the opening of a social innovation lab where we have students making apps for phones that have social impact. And so it can be something as simple as having a – we developed an app for the county for their bus schedule. So you will know exactly where the next bus is coming, because people are more likely to take the bus when they know it has reliable service and when they need to be out at the stops so and they're not waiting out in the freezing cold or in the rain or mm-hmm. whatever. Something so simple, that's something that our students are able to do for the county that will be able to make an impact on people's lives. It goes much deeper than that. Obviously, this location is in our School of Public Health, where we're co-located with the Milwaukee's Health Department. we were able to make apps, you know, when students are given the challenges, and we're able to see what are some of the needs that the city has for us to make a positive change on the lives of others through the phones, because almost everyone has a cell phone. Think about how the students will be able to do those things. When people will know what services are available to them if they have certain needs. You know, if they have an elderly person they're trying to take care of, and how can they make decisions, you know, for those individuals. You know, there's so many ways. Things, you know, where's the nearest place if somebody has diabetes where they can get treatments, or teen pregnancy, or, you know, just so many ways that we can develop technology that is very useful, you know, to mm-hmm. help some of the needs of Milwaukee.
And again, what great hands-on experience for students who want to proceed into that field.
And, you know, it's great. And, you know, it's one of the great things. You know, this is really being overseen by a gentleman by the name of Michael Hostad, who he's our UM Director of Web and Mobile Strategy, and I've recently named him a designee for entrepreneurship and innovation. And really, this is, you know, his vision, and working with Dean Magdepec, and really how we can even make even a greater impact, you know, on some of the things that Milwaukee needs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know you've been doing a little traveling with the working on behalf of the Alumni Association, meeting folks in other parts of the country, have connections with UWM.
Yeah. No, it's great. And one of the most exciting things for us is to go to, you know, other parts of the country and meet some of our alumni. And, you know, we have our very first alumni chapter outside of Milwaukee formed in Washington, D.C., and this was the first meeting of that group since it formally organized and became an organization. And we had about 70 or 80 people of our alumni, and it was amazing because all of them were so successful, and it was so neat to see all the great things that they're doing. And many of them obviously had never met before. It was very exciting them to meet each other the first time, or they hadn't seen each other for a number of years. And I think the event was supposed to go from something like 6 to 8, and they actually had to throw them all out about 9:15 because nobody wanted to leave there having such a good time. But yeah, it was very exciting for us. And again, we have other chapters forming in Houston, in Seattle, in Chicago, New York City. It's really exciting to see, particularly our alumni. We have 150,000 living alumni. For them to get together, and really for us to become the institution we want to be, we need a strong alumni behind mm-hmm. us, and not just a strong alumni here in southeastern Wisconsin, where we have the biggest density, but across the country, where we have many people that are very successful and doing great things, and having them get together.
So briefly, I just also wanted you to talk about the Eric Zelman Torah dedication that you were involved in.
Yeah, and this was, you know, kind of a tragic situation where about a year ago, one of our students, Eric Zelman, passed away. And he was very involved in with Hillel Milwaukee, which is, you know, located right on our campus. And we have a very strong relationship with them, and, you know, some strong ties. And I was able to take part in a handwritten scroll created with five books of Moses, you know, in the Torah dedicated in his honor. And I'll allow them to have actually some ceremonies on in the Hillel in Milwaukee, which they couldn't have before, you know, some extra ceremony. So for our students, it allows them, again, and I talk about how important it is for our students to have these ties to campus and things not necessarily always academic will keep them tied, help them be more successful, and Hillel is one of them. And so, you know, kind of an, you know, Eric's legacy, you know, this was dedicated to the Hillel. And it was great to hear about, he was very, very involved in campus. He was, you know, a real proponent of all things, one being the student union. You know, he was one of the big advocates for that and helping the student union get redone. And just we're very proud of him. And, you know, this dedication was a really good thing for me to be part of.
Mike Lovell, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, has been our guest on the University Chancellor's Report here on WUWM. I want to thank you for joining us again.
Thanks, Dave.
Join us again next month. We'll be back with Mike Lovell.